No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is the Coach Approach Thursday, which means I'm here with the man, the awesome hat game, Ant from 49ers Cut Back. Looking sharp, my friend. How are we doing today?
Yeah, it's always a good day when you can put on the red hat, you know, and then I got the hashtag TCC NWO-inspired gear. You know, you got to keep it Wolfpack. It's a great day to be on here talking football. And I always enjoy our shows, John, because I just think that it's so fun. The chat is always lit. That's number one. But we just get to kind of bounce things off, talk to each other. It's a good time to be a 49er fan. And now we're on a 4-game stretch to see, you know, where they can position themselves and if they can kind of set themselves up for the future. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, we call this show the Coach Approach. Like, we both coach football, and that's kind of what it reminds me of. Is like, okay, you would go and you'd start diving into film clips of the opposing team that's coming up, and whether like you're a position coach, coordinator, whatever else, you start watching things, you start seeing tendencies, and then you get together and you're like, ooh, all right, what do y'all see? What is it that we're looking for? Where can we exploit? Where are these matchups at? And then, like, you're just sitting around and, you know, in a conference room and you're talking up things like, oh, I think we need to do this. I think this is what we got to watch out for. And so, like, that's kind of the way we created this show, which I guess, man, we've been doing this for a little, almost a year now. Did we start last year?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a little over a year. Yeah.
Over a year? Dude, look at that. I freaking love it, man. So anyway, let's dive in. We're going to be talking the 49ers coach approach against the Titans. We've got updates from Kyle Shanahan's pressers after the 5 days off. They got a bonus practice Monday, Tuesday off again, and then they practiced yesterday. Now, right off the bat, there's more negative news when it comes to injuries. Eric Kendricks, who I was hoping would be the starter this week, you were hoping would be the starter this week, shows up and has calf tightness the day he shows up. And I joked on social media. Eric Kendricks walked in, saw the training staff, immediately got a soft tissue injury. That's a joke, of course. A lot of people did not think it was funny. But what the hell, man? Like, I'm not one of those, you know, tinfoil hat wearing, whatever. But at some point, these soft tissue injuries, the calves and the hamstrings, tell me that didn't piss you off whenever you saw that.
Oh, for sure. Like, I was unaware of it at first last night. We were doing like a show over on Patreon, and I was unaware of it. And I'm like, what do you mean he's missing practice? Like, I was all on board with Eric Kendricks being the starting Mike linebacker, especially with the news that Tatum Bethune wasn't practicing. I'm like, yeah, here we go. Like, he's going to get rolling. Now, this is one of those things that's sort of normal for someone that doesn't go through training camp and doesn't go through practices like that. They don't really build up calluses to injuries, and soft tissue things stink, especially with a guy that's a little bit older. I mean, he's a little bit elder compared to some of these counterparts, but it was surprising. Now, I will say, I don't think it's the end of the world when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. If they do need to just be careful, that's important. Plus, they could also, if he misses this game, elevate him for the rest of the season. Don't have to worry about it. He's got his standard elevations. And then when you get to the playoffs, you never even have to move him from the practice squad if you don't want. You just let him elevate every single week, and he's good to go. So in that regard, it's not terrible. But I wanted to see him out there playing Mike, because I think that he would help this football team a lot. And then when Tatum Bethune did come back, I love the idea of Bethune playing Sam linebacker and really getting a good linebacker room together. So that was a little bit disheartening, because I was all on board on Eric Kendricks being the new Mike linebacker for the 49ers.
And man, you talk about Tatum maybe playing Sam. He didn't practice on Wednesday. And, you know, I was under the impression of, look, if Tatum can't get two full practices, not limited, two full practices, I want Kendricks out there. Well, now Kendricks not even out there. So it looks like you're kind of back to Walter Payton, man of the year, twice. Curtis Robinson going to be out there against the Titans, which isn't that big of a deal, but you wanted to see what it could be, and you wanted that kind of dress rehearsal before the Colts game and all those different things. But do you think it's just going to be Curtis Robinson? You're going to have, you know, none other than D Winters next to him, and I guess Luke Gifford, because sticking with the stacking of injuries, Nick Martin's still in concussion protocol, even though it's been a week plus.
Yeah, I think that's how it has to be. You're going to roll with the same guys who have been getting it done over the last couple weeks. And the thing is, they have been getting it done. They've been holding teams under 10 points, so it's not like we should panic. And watch the Tennessee Titans for a couple of games, and you're going to realize real quick, this is not a prolific offense by any stretch of the imagination. If you're going to have injuries or you're not going to be fully healthy, this is one of those ones to have. Because even though Tony Pollard went off last week for over 160 yards, 90 of those yards were on two carries. So he wasn't like as efficient as you were thinking, but from looking at just the overall numbers. But when you dive deep into it, his two touchdown runs were long ones, and you have to worry about explosives. That's true. But I just think that maybe it would be overblown if you thought the Titans offense was going to be able to consistently move the ball against the 49ers defense. I think they'll be okay. I think the 49ers with that linebacker room will still be okay, but I am worried about depth. Jalen Graham will obviously be elevated. You know, where are we going to get with the new linebacker Wallow? I mean, is he going to be capable of playing within this defense? I think there's still a lot of depth questions now with Kendricks not being available and Tatum Bethune not being available.
Yeah, I saw that Wallow sign as basically just, look, this is a special teams upgrade just in case all these linebackers are out. And maybe it could be more. You always want it to be more, but I didn't see it. You look at his resume, doesn't really scream a perfect fit in this scheme. Not a lot of experience in the NFL level playing defensive snaps anyway. So, like, I just saw this as, hey, let's see if we've got a stud special teamer type feel. And if Brant Boyer, I don't give a damn what Brant Boyer says, he gets it. What Brant wants, Brant gets. With what he has done this year, you have the second highest ranked special teams group, EPA, in the NFL. Absolutely incredible. Just such an about face from the worst in the NFL to second best. Gosh, man, I hope Brant Boy, they don't ever do this to special teams coordinators. Almost always offensive play callers that aren't head coaches or defensive coordinators that aren't head coaches get the, you know, assistant of the year. But, man, dude needs to be involved in the conversation. He's just, anyway, so what Brant Boyer gets, whatever he wants, he gets. That's just period. Now, right here from Q, he says, John Lynch said no update on Brandon Ayuk. Done and done. D-U-N. I asked Wayne this on Tuesday. Will Brandon Ayuk, I'm past the will Brandon Ayuk play for the 49ers ever again? Will Brandon Ayuk practice for the 49ers ever again? Yes or no, in your opinion? Just practice.
I don't think so. I think that this thing is becoming a wrap. You know, I think that they're both kind of souring. I know John Lynch is kind of saying things in the media and Kyle Shanahan is saying the same thing. They're trying to keep the open lines of communication, but I think this thing is done. You know, I think if Brandon Ayuk wanted to be back, he'd be back. I think Richard Sherman's comments painted that picture, you know, and Richard Sherman was trying to say through the media, like, why wouldn't you want to be out there and prove to these other teams you're capable of playing? You're taking money out of your pocket. And Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to hear it. But this is kind of how we handled the whole situation with the new contract. It was really messy. And right now, he never showed this before. But when it got to contract time, he showed that he's kind of messy when it comes to these types of situations. And he wants out. And I think that's what he's going to get. I think the 49ers are looking to turn the page. And what that means, trade or just outright release, I don't know. But I'm guessing it happened sometime before the draft. We'll get a really good idea of what happens with Brandon Ayuk, probably before like any sort of other money gets guaranteed.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I hate it. I hate it for everybody involved. There's no winners. The only winners is the future cap situation for the 49ers. That's it. But yeah, I don't think we'll ever see BA around even in practice. One of my favorite things is Barrows. Like somebody asked him, like, any Brandon Ayuk sighting? It's like, we haven't seen Brandon Ayuk in months. Like that dude's not even out there. Like, he is D-U-N. It's done. Now, if you do want to see the 49ers, I had a wonderful supporter. I'll allow that person to remain anonymous. Give up two free tickets for the 49ers at Titans this week. Lower level, Section 105. We're giving them away for free. Got to be a Niners fan. There's two ways you can enter. You can go on Twitter at JL_Chapman, retweet my pinned post with the 49ers gift that enters you into the free ticket giveaway, or go on our Instagram page, 49ers Rush Podcast. You'll see it there printed. Eric, our social media guy, already put that up there. And so you can post that to your story. You are entered. We will be giving away two tickets, Section 105, lower level. Oh, I love giving away free things. It makes me so happy. The only thing that makes me mad about it is not everybody gets to win. Some people get upset when they don't win. But to somebody, hopefully you guys have a good time. Now, let's get back to the injuries. We talked Tatum. We talked Nick Martin. We talked Eric Kendricks. Kyle Juszczyk, limited. The ribs, all that kind of stuff, the pain tolerance. But a Wednesday limited, I thought this was on the positive side, and kind of leaning towards Kyle Juszczyk going to play.
Yeah, I think so, too. I thought that this is exactly what I was kind of waiting for, to see if he was going to be out there and participating in practice in any form, because that means it's all about pain tolerance. He's not, can't injure it any worse. And so that means it's just, can he manage it? Can they put a flak jacket on him and make him feel comfortable with him taking hits? And the good thing was the bye came at the right time. It allows some of the swelling and some of those things to go down. He's probably got a little bit more movement now, but ribs are no joke, you know, and if it hurts to run, it hurts to breathe. And so I don't know how significant, I don't know which rib it is or anything like that, but yeah, I think this was good news. And I think he is going to play against the Tennessee Titans. Make no mistake, the veterans of this football team, they understand how pivotal a time this is. They're not going to take any game lightly, and that's why Kyle Juszczyk won't just phone it in, but if he can go, he'll play against Tennessee.
Yeah, I think so too. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right. Prize Picks.
My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I see that. Look at this. Cam's dad, appreciate the super chat, my friend. NFC Championship gets visitors' locker room. Oh, man. Could you imagine with the Super Bowl being here in Santa Clara, you handle your business. Man, you wouldn't have to go on the road. That would be 5 consecutive games if they got the one seed, right? So you have the 2 home games to end it, Bears, Seahawks. You'd skip the wild card game. Then you'd have divisional at home, NFC Championship at home, Super Bowl at home. That'd be pretty freaking awesome. It's kind of almost too good to be true. I still am not sure the 49ers are going to get the one seed. They very likely could do that, but I do see the 49ers in the playoffs. How do you see just the entire playoff seeding situation right now. Currently, the 49ers are number six overall. They'd be playing the Eagles, hosted in Philadelphia for that wild card round, which, man, sign me up for that one right now, personally. But where do you see them shaking out, and where do you see them finishing if you look into Ant's crystal ball in this playoff seeding competition?
Yeah, you know what? The teams that are above the 49ers, it's really I don't think it's a scary endeavor for them to go on the road and defeat these teams. I think if you tell me the 49ers finish five and they go to Tampa or Carolina, I'm not going to throw Carolina out of there just yet, but I think it's going to be Tampa. I don't think the 49ers are batting an eye with that. I think Tampa's been inconsistent at best, especially on the defensive side of the football, and the 49ers offense is trending in the right direction, way better than they were when they played Tampa. With Philly, the 49ers have already proven they can go in there and smack Nick Sirianni's group and whoop on the Philadelphia Eagles if they need to. Like, that's something that they do. They handle that team pretty well. Not worried about it. Packers, they're not scaring anyone. They have been over. They've been great. They've been bad. They've been great. It's just all over the place for them. And if you're going to the Rams, it's SoFi. It's literally Levi South. 49ers already beat them there once this year. And I know they had Fred Warner. I get it. But this is a situation where that wouldn't even happen until the potential divisional round. So that's an extra week. So a lot of things can change in that time. And you got Fred Warner over there flipping in the pool and doing all the things that he's doing. Who knows what that means for him? He'll take Russ Francis's old nickname of Flipper here pretty soon for the amount of time spent in the pool. But I think the 49ers, at worst, will finish number five. I think because the Rams and Seahawks play each other, someone's got to lose, right? So they got to drop, and that's when the 49ers overtake one of those teams. I'm hoping it's the Rams because that means the 49ers got a shot to get to number one. But I think Green Bay probably falters with one game, which the 49ers need, and the Rams falter with one game. They got Detroit, and they got the Seahawks back-to-back. That's a tough stretch, especially with Detroit coming on, you know, coming off a 10-day rest. So I think that they lose one of those, and the 49ers are in the mix. The question is, can the 49ers go 4-0? If that game at the end of the year with versus the Seahawks ain't worth as much because of the games, maybe they get a big win. 4-0, not out of the question.
Man, so, and I go back and forth on that Week 18, that last game against Shanahan does not care if the game matters. He didn't care. Christian McCaffrey's still getting carries with a minute and a half left. You're up two scores. He's still getting, you know, freaking outside crack toss play. Like, so, like, I look at it and I'm just like, man, even if that game doesn't matter for, you know, you might be the five or the six seed, I think Shanahan's going to play it. And whether that's smart or not, whatever, might sit a couple people, but yeah, I don't know, man. I do struggle seeing a way, a path to the two seed. I think it's 1, 5, or 6. Like, that's the way I see it. Even 7 seed, I'm just like, I don't really see that one having much of a chance anyway, just because of how people are going to, you know, whatever. But oh man, we'll see. No need to second guess our coach. Yeah, everybody can be second guessed. That's why we're here. Now, I agree with almost the majority of Kyle Shanahan things, but yeah, I do not agree with everything Kyle Shanahan does. I'm very thankful he's our coach, and I hope he coaches for a long, long time. But and so, like, whenever you're up multiple scores, minute and a half left in the fourth quarter on the road, at what point was your coaching philosophy transitioned to, okay, let's get reps for our backups, as opposed to let's keep all of our guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depended on what the lead looked like. You know, I mean, if you get to a 3-score lead, you start thinking about it. You get some of the games that I coach, I don't know about you, John, but we'd be blowing people out at certain times where it's like, man, we're up 4 touchdowns in the first half. Like, what are we going to do? You don't want your starters not to get reps because you need them to stay, you know, in rhythm and keep things going. But you want to get your other guys work. You also want to get your starters out so they stay healthy. So it was pretty much sometime in the third quarter, if we were handling somebody pretty well. A lot of times the normal marker is the end of the third quarter. You're up by 3 scores. Let your backups go in for the fourth. And I know Kyle Shanahan is leery of that, right? The Detroit game a few years ago, put that in perspective, where they went to the backups early, kind of let their foot off the gas, and Detroit came storming back. Because the NFL is a little bit of a different animal when it comes to how quickly a team can turn things around. And momentum's a real thing, especially in football. And so I would usually do it kind of towards the into the third, unless it was just an extreme blowout, then it would go earlier. There was times my starters felt like they weren't playing as much as everybody else, but that's the way it goes sometimes. But yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes I look and Christian McCaffrey's in with 4 minutes left and you're up by, you know, two scores. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know about that, but
it's Brian Robinson time. Let's go.
Oh yeah. Let's go. Brian Robinson, you know, so I think it is, you know, something that Kyle doesn't like to do, but I think it's the competitor in him. He's afraid of that Detroit kind of situation, you know, creeping up and happening again.
Yeah, it, that's the thing. You've lived through that, right? Like where you were up 17 points and then you got a turnover, touchdown, onside kick went off Kittle's hands, I believe. I think it was Kittle's hands.
It was
Kittle. It was just like, yeah, let's make sure that stay there. That's where that is. So now it's funny. We have to divide up our injury talk for multiple positions. So we talked linebackers. Next up, I want to talk defensive ends, which has been the most injured position for the 49ers this season. At one point, you had 5 out of your 6 defensive ends, top 6 defensive ends injured. Now, there's 2 defensive ends that are still on the mend that we're still got to wait for, and we're going to talk about it right after this. December doesn't have to be the most expensive month of the year if you're betting with MyBookie. They have their 12 days of Christmas is coming soon with daily offers dropping back to back to back to back 12 days in a row all across sports and the casino. And I'm talking bets and gets, profit boosts, free spins, even surprise drops for social and Telegram users. And with December being so packed, you got the NFL, you got college NFL, your college bowl season, college hoops. It's all serving up for opportunities to cash. And if you go to mybookie.ag now, punch in the code 49ers, 49ERS, you get your first bet covered up to $500. Make sure you click that opt-in button. If you go big and miss on the first bet, use your bet back bonus token and run it back. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've used this in California. I've used it in Texas. Doesn't matter where you're at. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. And again, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
All right, let's talk defensive ends. The injuries have just stacked at that position. Now, Sam Okwuonu, not practicing, still that ankle issue. I think he's going to be out one more week. Now, Itur Gross-Matos did not practice Wednesday, which was a little weird to me. It's a hamstring, not a knee, which gives me some hope because that knee has kept him out of 5 separate occasions over the past 2 years. But Kyle Shanahan said, you know, the plan is to activate his 21-day window today. The audio was like god-awful on that press conference. So like, I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Like I listened to it about 10 times, but like, good Lord, they have no clue what's happening over there, but that's okay. So talk to me about this defensive end room. Do you expect Etur to be activated today like they talked about? And does that lead to him playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I think they're going to activate his 21-day window. Luckily for me, I like read what Nick Wagoner said about the actual interview, because you're right. Audio always terrible for 49ers press conferences. Usually video as well, right? Completely wide, and all of a sudden it finally goes in. They haven't got that figured out yet. But I do think that Itur Gross-Matos comes back. I think that they probably play him this week. I think they're ready to get him back in the mix. And they it's like, what are you going to wait for now, right? He's not going to get more healthy than he is now. The knee's always going to be a thing. They're going to manage him like Kyle Shanahan said. He's going to practice on Thursdays. He's never going to do back-to-back. He's going to practice one day a week. He's going to play. So I think if the hamstring has been good enough to go through his practices, they'll be willing to activate him, which means there's got to be a corresponding move to the active roster, which will be interesting to see what the 49ers end up doing. And, you know, there's a couple of guys that you worry that they're probably not going to be on the roster or they're going to go to IR or something like that. So we'll see. But I think Eitor Gross-Matos is important if he's healthy for the 49ers when it comes to generating pass rush. He was really good on the inside. And I think with him and Keon White, Cleveland Farrell, you know, Okwuondu eventually coming back, but with Bryce Huff, it gives them that look again that they really like, that NASCAR look. And some of the stunts that they were pulling off in the game last week were good. In fact, Farrell's first sack was a great stunt. They had him and Kalia Davis, you know, slanting, going across. They had Keon White coming all the way around. That's the athleticism of a defensive end that allows you to do that. And then Cleveland Farrell comes free. It was complimentary defensive line play, but it ends up rewarding Cleveland Farrell. It wasn't even designed for Farrell to get the sack, but he gets it.
And you look at the Titans, they've given up the most sacks in the entire NFL. Cam Ward has been sacked 49 times. 49. So defensive ends, they're chomping at the bit because, like this, if you want to get paid as a defensive line player, sacks is the way to do it. And in today's NFL, a sack is equivalent to about $1.5 million and a little bit gravy on your next contract. So, like, every time you see somebody get a sack, just understand that's 1.5 with a lot of zeros after it every single time. So they're going to be fighting to get back. Who are your starting defensive ends this week? You got Bryce Huff. Who you putting on the opposite side?
Keon White. I think that they roll with Keon White right now, especially in base downs. I think they like him in the Mikel Williams role, right? Playing outside early and then moving in on obvious pass downs. And I think that is what they foresaw. Whenever you find a guy who played, you know, five tech in a 3-4 defense, when they come to San Francisco, they're going to be this universal role. The Arden Key, you know, Charles Aminahou, like, this is just the role that they like for these guys. Even the original, right, Eric Armstead was the original guy that did it. So they like this, and I think Keon White fits it really well. I like the way he plays. I'd like to see him set a little bit of a better edge playing the defensive end spot, but I love him pass rushing from the inside.
Him and Mikel, man. Like, Mikel can set the edge versus the run. Mikel struggled against quarterbacks escaping outside. Keon White just kind of runs in like a wild banshee, man, and just like, he's just going crazy. But yeah, a lot of positives. Keon White, there was one entire series where he made, it was a 3-and-out in the third quarter against the Browns where he made the play first, second, and third down. And I mean, it was first play was a screen he chased down, helped get the tackle, blew up a play on third down where the quarterback kind of threw it because he made contact and had a tackle for loss on second down. Like, it was just like, he has the power. And we saw this 2 years ago, which is three defensive coordinators ago for Keon White, where, like, this guy can be a game changer. Now, is he the most disciplined or polished? Does he have good hand usage? No. But, man, he is just a physical specimen that plays very, very hard. And so for the 49ers, it's worked out very well. And so you get this guy, you know, Keon White, you get Cleveland Farrell, who you got off the scrap heap. Maybe they could continue doing what they do. And the 49ers made more roster moves this week to the practice squad. Two that I wanted to talk about in particular. They go out and they sign cornerback Isaiah Bolden to the practice squad. 6'2 corner, huge. Former seventh round pick to the Pats again, just like Keon White. And he was at Jacksonville State with Darrell Luter. So the 49ers have been exposed to him and his tape in the past. What were your thoughts about, like, why add? What is this move on the back end of the practice squad? What does it signify to you?
Well, sometimes it's not even about this season, right? It's about next season. They do this every single year. They start adding players that they think they might want to sign to future contracts or have in camp next year. So I think that's what they're doing. I think they're keeping their ear to the ground. They're always looking to add players. And of course, if you can add guys who, if you elevate, can help you on special teams, that's always important too. But I think that's what they're doing. They're still looking, even though they're preparing every week for 2025, they're still evaluating 2026. That's what the personnel group and personnel department is supposed to do. And I think that's what some of these moves are. Get some young guys who have showed some potential, see how they fit in your scheme, look at some time of them in practice. And once you get that, then you're going to have a real feel. And if they don't look like you thought they were going to look, well, then you can cut bait, go with somebody else. It's that constant Rolodex of players as you look to build for the future.
Yeah, and the 49ers use their practice squad more than any other team in the NFL. Like, they successfully use that. And so, again, like, I'm not an agent, but I know a few agents, and I always tell, like, dude, if you have a choice, go to the 49ers practice squad. they take care of their people. Plus the Shanahan loyalty program. Even if you don't make it out as a player, you can coach for the dude. Like, he will allow you to coach for him if you've got a good work ethic and all those different things that's there. Now, the one that was the most exciting to me, I was a Javon Baker truther. Like, I think I had a fifth round grade on him, but like one of the truest X wide receivers. And I thought that's why that was so important. Juwan Jennings, last year of his contract, he's playing up to the X level now, not a true X. We talked about Brandon Ayuk. He's done. You've got Jordan Watkins, who is an X wide receiver as well. But I like Javon Baker out of Central Florida, brought him to the practice squad. I don't think that he gets elevated at any point this year outside of injuries, but I think that these are the type of things where it's like, hey, let's bring him in. Let's see if he can practice. Let's see if he can make this 90-man roster next year, come in and maybe compete for that backup X role, depending on what they want to do next year.
Yeah, I think, too, the thought process changed, right? Russell Gage got moved on from, and that was because you had Russell Gage because you needed veterans at the time at the wide receiver position. Everybody was young. You were dealing with injuries to your veterans. When you can let Russell Gage go, then you can start focusing on young players again. And he was a fourth round pick. I mean, this guy has a lot of talent. Just go watch some of his college film. You're not going to see much with New England. He barely did anything there, but you're going to see a player that's got the ability, some shake, some yards after the catch. He's got extreme athletic ability. Why not take a flyer, see what he's got, start developing him now. So that way he could potentially add to the depth of your wide receiver room next year. So I think it's going to be very important to see what he could do.
And I want to say this. When Javon Baker got drafted, I don't know if you saw the quote. This is what he said whenever he got drafted in the fourth round. Quote, "Just come to the home stadium and bring your popcorn. That's all I could tell you. I make people in wheelchairs stand up," end quote. Oh, come on, man. I absolutely love it. But anyway, shout out to MM McFly, Marty McFly. I love it. Thank you for the super chat. Cowing Watkins, Shanahan expectations too high. That X position is going to be weird. I'm assuming Juwan Jennings goes elsewhere and gets paid. So if we look forward, look at that, Marty McFly asking questions about the future. I see what you're doing there, on brand, on brand. What do you think the 49ers plan is long term at the X wide receiver? You've got Ricky Pearsall is going to be playing Z. That's his spot locked down. You know, Watkins, they like him. He plays that X role, but Shanahan and rookie wide receivers, all that kind of stuff, he's been a healthy scratch pretty much for a while. What do you see them doing? Do they draft another high wide receiver? Or do they go free agency? Do you sign Juwan Jennings? How would you handle the future of the X wide receiver spot?
I think they're going to look at Juwan Jennings, you know, and see if they can find a number that works for both sides. This is what they always do, right? They're going to set a number for Juwan, and with Brandon Ayuk potentially moving on, and I think we all believe that that's going to happen now, it's going to free up a little bit of money for Juwan Jennings. And so there's a potential there. I don't think that that is the overall number one potential landing spot for Juwan Jennings is back with San Francisco. I think they're going to kick the tires on players in free agency. I don't know exactly who's going to be free agent, but they did that this year. They kind of kicked the tires on Davante Adams, and some of these guys didn't have money to spend. But now with Brandon Ayuk, who they believe was their long-term player at X, moving on potentially, they're going to go another route. I think they would like to go veteran, but John, I think they're going to go wide receiver in the draft as well. And I think they're just going to try to stockpile again. And I think what Kyle Shanahan has proven to himself, especially this season, is as long as he has capable wide receivers that understand how to run routes, they're going to get open and they can make enough plays. And you can continue to run this offense through Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle for the time being. They're eventually going to wear down over the next few years. But right now, that is the name of the game, and it works out really well for them. Let the receivers be more complimentary. And I think that that's kind of the way this offense is going to trend over the next few years, especially with Brock Purdy at quarterback.
Let me ask you this. If you were the GM, what would you offer Juwan Jennings to come back? Like, what is the number that kind of comes to your head per year that you think you would be comfortable bringing him back at?
$15 million, I think, is kind of where I'm looking at. You know, like, hey, yeah, 15 to 18. I might go as high as 18, wow, depending on how it works, but I'd probably stick around $15 million because of the things that he adds beyond just catching the football. But this is a guy that's producing in the red zone. He has 5 touchdowns in the red zone. You don't normally get a lot of production from your wide receivers in the red zone, but he does it. So I would go 15. I think I'd be comfortable with that.
And like you're like, and we've seen like you're never going to take the top off. You can't run go routes. Like you're just going to allow the defense to kind of, you know, sag into the intermediate and shallow part of the field. So like, that's my thing is the definition of X is somebody that could threaten deep, run the full route tree. That and Juwan Jennings is playing up and doing very, very well at it. I just, I feel like it just limits what you can be. You've had one 20-yard rush attempt this entire year. Big reason of that is you don't have true X. There's nobody that they have to be scared of over the top. You just don't have that on your roster. So I don't know. And even if I did a Juwan Jennings deal, I wouldn't want to do more than 1 or 2 years. Like a 2-year, $24 million, which he ain't going to sign that. So I don't know. Like I'm stuck a little bit because, you know, I'm looking at the wide receiver free agent class. Like there's not much out there. Jacoby Myers, Tutu Atwell, Marquise Brown. Like I'm not wanting any of this. Noah Brown, Rashid Shaheed, maybe Josh Rent. Like there is nothing that is like, ooh, it doesn't come available. And you know, I see this question right here from Dale. Any truth to the Justin Jefferson rumor this offseason? Teams don't trade best players at their position in their prime. They really, really don't. Like I don't see any way in the world a team would do that. But then you've got teams like, you know, Jerry Jones trading away Micah Parsons. So, like, you never want to say never. But right, there's no way Justin Jefferson's going to be on the move, right? And even if he is, you're trading multiple firsts. Like, good gosh, you're not going to have a draft pick for a long time. Like, that dude is going to cost multiple first-rounders, right?
Right. I mean, the thing is, like, it does happen with wide receiver. We've seen Tyreek Hill get traded, right? We saw A.J. Brown get traded. That was a young guy on the end of his first contract. D.K. Metcalf just got traded. It's not like wide receivers don't get moved. But I don't think a wide receiver like Justin Jefferson that's a face of the franchise, I don't see him getting moved unless he gets so disgruntled that he wants out, right? He's like, you know, J.J. McCarthy's not the guy. Like, I got to get out of here. And even then, it's going to take so much to get him because you brought up the draft compensation, but you also have to take on that contract as well. Do I believe the 49ers called before they signed Brandon Ayuk about seeing if Justin Jefferson was available? I 100% believe that. Why not? That's a smart move. Just find out what's going on there. Plus, along the way, you find out, you know, what the details of his contract are and, you know, financially what's going to be there. So you can talk about Ayuk, but I don't see Justin Jefferson getting traded to the 49ers. I don't see them being willing to give up that much draft capital and take on that contract. But I wouldn't say that there's not another wide receiver around this league that becomes available that the 49ers couldn't reach out and poach at some point, because we see wide receivers get moved a lot, especially when it's time for them to get a new contract.
I wish, man. I would. If you could, I would. But I just don't see it. Like, right? Why would the Vikings do that? Like, what is it that you're going to give the Vikings? They're trying to compete. I can't see it. I know they need a quarterback, and I get the whole Mac Jones thing and whatever else. I just, man, what you're going to give up Mac Jones in a first for Justin Jefferson? I mean, I would, but those don't usually happen. In the NFL. But yeah, if it took Mac Jones a 2 firsts, I'm not doing that. Mac Jones in a first, I would do that. But I think it costs more. And man, you look at the dead money of Justin Jefferson's deal. I just don't understand why they would do that. That's where I get hung up. I understand the Niners. I understand that. I understand Justin Jefferson. He don't own the rights to his own deal. The Vikings. If you're the Vikings, I've been to the Viking Stadium twice in the past 3 years. Justin Jefferson is painted all over the town, the stadium, everywhere. Every other jersey is like the owner would lose so much money. He would lose so much of the fan base. That's why I'm like, yeah, for the Niners, yes. For Justin Jefferson, yes. Vikings, hell no. Not no, but hell no. That's what my mom would always tell me. Not no, but hell no. That's not happening. Cam's dad, this is talking about Juwan Jennings. I agree. 12 million tops, 2 years. We need a D and O line. Oh yeah, we need D and O line. That's what he's saying there. I was like, I was confused. I'm not a smart man, Cam's dad, but I appreciate you. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how much I want to pay Juwan Jennings. I want him here, but I'm tired of paying wide receivers. I'm tired. The position's so inflated contractually. Like Fred Warner's making $12 million. You know what I mean? I'd make it a little more than that now. But like, would you rather? I don't know. I know that's not how it works. I'm just saying, Juwan Jennings is awesome. He's totally come back. It took him 2 months to get back to himself. And, you know, he's had three games in a row where he was in a negative output and a negative consequential player. So we'll see what that looks like. Now, if you are going to any away games, we got one more. We're going to be out in Indianapolis for the Monday night game. We're going to be at Tom's Watch Bar Sunday, the day before. We're going to be watching all of the football games, having a really good time, giveaways, all that stuff. And we're going to have a tailgate right before indoors. All you can eat, all you can drink. Go to Tick Pick. And if you've never been to one of the 49ers Rush Road Trips, this is what it's like.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with Tick Pick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the Tick Pick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, I like this from Coker, and I've seen a lot of Niners Twitter and, you know, different podcasts and stuff talking about this. Coker says this: am I wrong for saying I would rather have Mac Jones for one more year than trade him for a second round pick? He's valuable. I like the security he provides. Where are you on this, to trade or not to trade Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, I think if the right deal comes along, I think you always entertain it. I think John Lynch is approaching it the right way, kind of, hey, we're open for business. We'll listen to phone calls. But unless we're blown away, we like Mac Jones in this room. You know, and I think they signed him to a two-year deal for a reason, because they do believe that there's great value for a backup. You know, they had Sam Darnold for 1 year. I bet they wish they would have had him for two, just in case. So I think that they are looking at this as Mac Jones is the guy that they want. But they also have Curtis Rourke. And I think that this is going to be a big part of the decision-making process, is how Rourke looks over the next 21 days. He's not going to be activated. I don't expect him to play this season, but they're going to take a hard look of what they got. And I think that's going to help determine what happens with Mac Jones. But I got to admit, I'm with him. I like the thought of having Mac Jones available just in case something happens to Brock Purdy. You know, you have a capable guy that can go in there and win. That might be more valuable than a second-round pick. But, you know, just remember that if you do trade him for second round pick, that means you're getting a player for 4 years that can help your football team. So there's that value. I'd probably pull the trigger on a second round pick, especially if it was a high second round pick. But with that being said, I do understand having Mac Jones is very important to this football team, because injuries come and he can go win games for you.
Yeah, I'm saying this right. Top 50 pick, that's my cost. Like it. And again, you know, we do the draft stuff every year, and we see that tier breakdown around play 45, play 55, and then it's just like, all right, now these guys are in third round tier whatever. But if you could get in that top 50, I'm taking it. I am selling if I can get a top 50 pick. Now, if somebody offers the 55th pick, you know, and the draft order is still shaking out and whatever else, that's a conversation I'm having, but I'm smashing the trade for a top 50 pick. Period. Like, and you heard John Lynch even as recently as this week, we want to build through the draft. That's where we want to build. It's more sustainable. It's more financially savvy. Not to say you're not going to do free agency, whatever else, but yeah, if you can get it, I'm just saying, I would take it. I do not believe that you can get a first round pick for Mac Jones. I hope you can, but I just don't see that, because the team would have to trade for him and then sign him and pay him. So yeah, we'll see. Right here, man, come on, you had a top 50 to 60 pick. Yeah. I'm with you, John. John Wallace. I love it. I would do the trade personally. Now let's talk some Titans. We haven't talked Titans yet. When you turn on the tape, Ant, I'll give you the floor. Offense, defense, wherever you want to go. What is it that you see from a coaching perspective when you watch the Titans play?
I think the first thing that jumps out is their defensive line is extremely talented. Devondre Sweat is monstrous.
Nobody talks about him.
No.
Nobody talks about him.
He's got his own zip code. You know, the guy is huge. He's like that Gilbert Brown type player, you know, just big, massive, eats up a lot of space. And then they've got good players around him. You know, I mean, when you look at Jeffrey Simmons, he's still one of the best to do it. He looked really good last week. And they've got good guys on the edge too. You know, Arden Key still can rush the passer, plays well. He's got a lot of length. You know, Jihad Ward has been playing pretty well. They've got a good looking defense. And then Sebastian Joseph Day, a familiar, you know, name to 49er fans. He was with us in the end of the 2023 season. So I look at that defensive front, and I think that's the first thing that's noticeable. It's like, okay, what can the 49ers do as far as pass rush? Or, I mean, sorry, slowing down that pass rush. And I always worry about the big, fast individuals on the inside against the current interior offensive line for the 49ers. They're not built to handle large mass. They're built to handle quick, fast guys that are on the move. So expect this to be a interesting one, right? We've seen what Vita Vea could do. Devondre Campbell and Jeffrey Simmons, I think they're going to be a little bit of a difficulty for the 49ers interior offensive line when it comes to stopping the pass rush.
Yeah, I said the same thing. The two best players on this team line up next to each other. That's Jeffrey Simmons and Devondre Sweat. You look at PFF rankings, which do with that what you will. Simmons is the second highest rated defensive tackle. Sweat is the sixth. Simmons is the second. Like, and the tape shows that consistently. Like, they are dominating every single team they play. The scheme I didn't like. The defensive scheme, I'm just kind of like, it's not bad. I just don't feel like they're, you know, my standardized anything for coaches is like putting your players in a position to be successful, giving them an advantage. I don't feel like offensively or defensively, I'm like, dude, why are y'all doing this to them? Like, you're making this very, very, you're upping, like, you play Halo. I'm a big Halo guy, right? Like, you're starting off a legendary, bro. Like, man, you got to work your way up. Like, these rookies and this young staff just not ready. But Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator, like, it's not a bad scheme. There's not a lot of, oh, man, I can see this gap's open. I can see this coverage bust. I can see it's not that. It's just, dude, simplify things. Play football. You're doing too much. And I think it's costing them. And you look at the penalties, they're the top five most penalized team in the NFL. You look at missed tackles. You look at just coverage busts. They have talent. I don't think they're the least talented team in the NFL. I think that they are more talented than a lot of teams. I don't think they're coached well. So you got rookies everywhere. Obviously, you got the number one overall pick, Cam Ward. And their offensive line's not terrible. I think the guards, it's funny, interior-wise, it's the strength of this team. You look at Peter Skoronski and, you know, Zeitler, those are two good guards. Outside of that, I don't know. I thought J.C. Latham would be a lot better than he is at this point in his career. Dan Moore, not great. So that's been a problem. So, like, they've got two good running backs. They've got two good guards. Youth everywhere else. And inconsistency everywhere else. Cam Ward's good. Not consistent. Way under. What's he at? Like 61%, you know, completion percentage. They can't convert on third downs. I don't know. It's just, I feel like this is an offense and a defense that is just in like elementary stages, but they're acting like they're advanced calculus class and they're just behind on everything.
Yeah, I think when you look at their offense, it probably should run through the running back and the tight end the way that the 49ers do, especially with some of the players they got at wide receiver. They have no Calvin Ridley right now. You know, they released Tyler Lockett. They couldn't, you know, that was going nowhere. So he left. And so you lost a lot of those veteran players that understood where to go for Cam Ward. And now he's got a bunch of young guys. You know, he's got some hungry guys. You know, A.O. Maynard's a fun guy. He had that 14-yard touchdown last week. DK, he can make some plays too. But they're just lacking when it comes to that. I mean, the fact they had 106 yards passing last week against the Cleveland Browns. And make no mistake, Cleveland Browns pass defense is really good. That pass rush is no joke. But this is a team that's averaging 160 yards per game passing the football in the NFL. That's crazy to think that they're not even close to 200. I think that this thing does need to be simplified, but I think also the approach to the way they run offense needs to be changed. They need to run this thing more like they did last week against Cleveland, where they went to a Quanquo and they went to the run game. I think that that is the method that they need to continue to go with, But I don't know if Cam Ward's ready. He's taking a lot of sacks. He's still holding on to the football. You brought up the offensive line. Last week, they didn't have their starting center either. That didn't help when it came to communication.
I don't think he's going to play this week either, though.
He might not. So, I mean, they're struggling. I know he was – I think he was limited, I think, according to yesterday's report. But still, I mean, even with that, you brought up the guys on the inside. I like Kevin Zeitler, but, John, I love the matchup of Keon White and the 49ers' interior defensive ends on obvious pass downs against him because he's a big mauler. If they're going to run the ball at you, he's going to eat you alive. But if he's got a pass protect, there's opportunities to stunt on him and get around him with lateral quickness.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think Cam Ward's like a bust or whatever else. It's just, man, you've got two young wide receivers as your number one weapons. Elijah Manner and, you know, Chimere Dike, like, who's awesome. But, like, this is the Shanahan wide receiver rookie problem. They're not consistent. And so the highlights are there, and that's cool, but you're not going to be on the same page, which leads to throwaways, leads to sacks, leads to interceptions, which they have so many of. And so, like, that's the thing. They cannot consistently perform because they're just not polished. They're not crisp. They're not on the same page throughout. And so it's going to take time. And, you know, I see this here from Hemstifer. He says, I think Saleh to Tennessee is a real thing. Dude, I let me just say this about Robert Saleh, because I'm seeing rumors out there about the Raiders and whatever else. And yeah, like, again, very similar to the Justin Jefferson thing. Do I think the Tennessee Titans would want Robert Saleh? Yes. Do I think the Raiders would want Robert Saleh? Yes. But does it make sense for Robert Saleh? He's already the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. You only get two chances at a head coaching job. Only two. So this next one is his last chance. Do you want to tie that to Cam Ward? I don't think Cam Ward's a bust, but I'm not betting my entire career on Cam Ward, especially if I have a choice to. Strunk, I don't think, is a bad owner. They're getting a new stadium there. Nashville's incredible. Like, I get that. But, like, dude, this is not a team that's built for success in the near future. And I'm not sure Tennessee has modeled the behavior of sticking with the coach to work things out. I don't know. What are your thoughts of Robert Saleh going to Tennessee or really any other team that has a head coaching vacancy currently?
Yeah, I think Tennessee is a better situation than the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think the Raiders look really good at all, you know, and they've been just so bad when it comes to ownership.
Poor ownership, no quarterback.
Yeah, it's bad there. But when it comes to Tennessee, I think that there's at least some pieces there that you would be interested in. But Robert Saleh's got to make sure that the next one is the right one. And I think for Tennessee, do you want to go defensive-minded head coach, or do you want to get an offensive-minded guy that can help your young player along? And that's what we see in the NFL so much, is they want more of a quarterback whisperer, somebody that can communicate with that young signal caller and get them up to speed, because they do need to continue to develop Cam Ward. They put an investment in him, and if they're going to become the team they want to be, they need him to play well. And I think that it can stunt growth. Just look at C.J. Stroud. Right. I mean, D'Amico Ryans has done phenomenal there. He's been fantastic. But when your offensive part of that plan doesn't work out, it kind of stunts the growth of that quarterback. And so D'Amico's defense is playing all world defense, but the offense is still not up to the level that it should be because the offensive guys he brought with them doesn't work out. So I think a lot of teams would rather, let's bet on offense. At least we know the young quarterback's going to get taken care of. We need to change coordinators a couple times. We can figure that out.
Yeah, I like that. Cam's dad appreciates. He says, what are the chances Saleh replaces Kyle in 2028? I think Kyle is signed through 2030. And I don't think he's going anywhere. Like, there are people that are coaches. And, like, he saw it with his dad. Like, his dad coached, and then whenever he wasn't coaching, he went and watched his son coach. Like, some people are coaches, and that's just – Kyle Shanahan's a coach. That dude is never going to change. I don't think he's going anywhere. I hope Kyle Shanahan stays here for as long as he wants to. If that's 20-plus years, you know, obviously you're doing a 5-year installment, whatever else. But I want Kyle to be the head coach here for as long as he wants to be here. I love Robert Saleh. I would not be upset if he was our head coach. But, yeah, I think the likelihood is Robert Saleh leaves eventually when a spot opens with a top-tier quarterback and an owner that's willing to win. And until you get those, I ain't going nowhere. Like, that's just my own personal take. You got to have a quarterback that wants to win. You got to have a quality owner. He experienced both of the negatives of those in New York. No way in hell I'm doing that again. And I've seen this just on a small scale in Texas where my buddies go get jobs. Like, they want to be a play caller. They want to be a head coach. They go, they'll take the shitty ass job because it's like, look, I finally get to be a head coach. And then a year later, they're like, yep, that was the biggest mistake of my life. I'll never do that again. That place could never win even if they wanted to win, like, just because it's not built that way. I would argue there's probably about 20 to 22 jobs in the NFL that are legitimate winners. There are reasons why literally 10 teams have never won the Super Bowl in the NFL. It's ownership. It's structure. It's what you do. And I think Robert Saleh learned that the hard way. So I don't think he – and again, this is just conjecture. I haven't talked to Bob. I don't know what his thoughts are. I'm just saying, why leave? Next year you get all these guys back, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, whatever else. Why not wait? Because a good job will come open eventually. It will. With a quarterback, it will. You just got to wait it out. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think D'Amico Ryans, you know, showed that. He waited for the Houston Texans job, a place he felt comfortable with, you know, and then they had C.J. Stroud, you know, was going to be C.J. Stroud. And so he knew he was going to get a top flight quarterback to go with it. But he waited till he was comfortable. He could have been hired the year before, but he waited. And I think that Robert Saleh has experienced a lot in this league. And I think when he makes the decision, if something comes open that he loves, he's going to jump at it. If that's this season, great. If it's, or, you know, if it's next year, great. I hope he's back next year for the 49ers. I think that's the best situation for 49ers. But yeah, I think that Robert Saleh definitely knows that the next job is the last job. If he's not successful, he probably won't get another opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL.
There we go. I am seeing the, I saw somebody say, Camp Stat said, Shetty signed through 2027. Kyle Shanahan was signed to a new multi-year contract in September 2023, which followed his previous six-year deal. Now, teams don't have to disclose how long the deals are. So I'm not seeing an actual whatever, the extension, how, like, because, like, only the only team that has to announce that is the Packers because they're publicly traded. Every other team, they don't have to disclose how much or how long. But I am seeing some conflicted reports for how long it's through, but, yeah, don't know the answer to that. So I don't know. Sonia, thanks for the super chat. If we keep Saleh with a healthy team, we will make a Super Bowl run. I pray he stays. I want to see this defense at 100% full force. I think Robert Saleh wants to see it. You go back to when he got hired. Why would you want to come back here? Love working with Kyle. They know what they need to do to win. I want to coach Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. He didn't really get that chance this year, right? And so, man, you've picked these rookies. They're all starting to pan out. Why not? Like, dude, why are you going to give up on what you build? Like, it's right there. Like, I just cannot find a reason why he would leave. I just can't. Maybe, shoot, I don't know. Maybe Andy Reid retires and he could go coach. I'd probably go to Spagnola or, you know, whatever. But if you can get one of those jobs with an owner that wants to win with a top-tier quarterback, sure. But I don't see that being open. And Joe Burrow is not an option for me. Joe Burrow meets the criteria. I am not going to work for that organization, the Bengals, right? So, again, back to my thing. Quarterback, ownership. If you ain't got those two, sayonara. I am not interested. I'm the highest-paid DC. I've got an easy job. I've got the players to fit. Why would I leave? Why would you're not going to make, like, it's funny. I think Robert Saleh makes more money than Jonathan Gannon does. Like, a lot of these places are just not good places to go. They're not. And so I'm sorry. I'm ranting a little bit. I apologize. And,
it's all good.
My bad, dude. I'll calm down. No, I want to give you the last word on this though.
You know, all this stuff with Robert Saleh, it's, you know, you don't know what's going on in the guy's head for sure. There's going to be opportunities that come his way. He's going to be able to decide what he wants to do. I think that he's proven in his career that he can be a successful coach. And so he deserves to get a head coaching job at some point. I don't know if that's going to be next year. That's going to be, you know, the year after that. But what I do know is Robert Saleh has been a good coach for the San Francisco 49ers in both stints. He is going to leave this place better than it was. So I love that. So that's what I'm excited to see. What he's able to do. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan's been thinking ahead already. He's got Gus Bradley in the room just in case Robert Saleh decides to leave. Just all Kyle has to do is remember he has to actually interview other people outside the organization before he announces that he's going to be the coach.
Jack wagon. anyway, I saw somebody ask, you know, do you think the Giants would be a good job? Hell no. No. John Mara, are you kidding me? No. No. In that building? No. Absolutely not. I do not. And I'll end on this, and I probably shouldn't, but it's what it is. I got to go pick up the kiddo. And I just want to say thank you. I look forward to these shows. I think a lot of people look forward to these shows. I enjoy it. And the 49ers, they should win this game. The one thing, what if, and we're going to end on this, what if Robert Saleh left for Michigan? I'm just saying. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.